Morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, fj@offbeatoregon.com, your host for today's Offbeat Oregon History Podcast episode. Thanks for downloading, and I sure hope you enjoy it. Today we have the second and final part of a two-part presentation of the story of legendary American spy Claire Phillips. Yesterday, in part one, we got introduced to Claire and to the Manila nightclub she ran as an American spy under Japanese occupation. Of course, she must have known eventually she'd get caught. And well, eventually, she was. In May of 1944, one of her messengers was caught slipping food and supplies to POWs at one of the notorious prison camps. Under torture, the messenger gave her up. And on May 23rd, the Japanese military police came to visit her at Club Tsubaki, and they roughly arrested her. Claire was interrogated, tortured, waterboarded, and burned with cigars. She played her cards carefully, spilling stale information, naming people that she knew had already left the area or been arrested or killed, and acting as if she was betraying trusts in so doing. It also helped that the only thing they knew about at the time was her smuggling of food and supplies to POWs and other prisoners. Had they known she was passing on military intelligence as well, it probably would have gone quite a bit worse. Tried in a military court, Claire was sentenced to be executed. This was subsequently commuted to a sentence of 12 years at hard labor. Less than a year later, the American forces liberated her prison. They got to her just in time. She had wasted away to under 85 pounds. Her healthy weight was about 140, and she had to be fed intravenously at first because her digestive system had shut down. After the war, Claire was hailed as a hero. Even before she was back in North America, her hometown newspaper was singing her praises. Soon afterward, Reader's Digest picked up the story and spread it nationwide. She wrote a memoir of her war activities, Manila Espionage, and it was published in 1947. The following year, at Fort Lewis, General Mark Clark presented her with the Medal of Freedom, America's highest award for a civilian. The accolades kept coming. She appeared on an episode of NBC's This Is Your Life with the legendary Ralph Edwards. Soon afterwards, she was presented with a home in Beaverton and a new Packard automobile. She threw herself into the lecture circuit, giving speaking engagements and appearances around the country, talking about her time as an American spy behind enemy lines. She even had a Hollywood movie made about her, starring Anne Dvorak, in 1951. It was called I Was an American Spy. But behind all the activity, all was not well with her. Always a restless spirit, she'd been deeply traumatized by the cruelty she'd witnessed and the torture she'd experienced. Post-traumatic stress disorder was not yet a known thing, but oh yes, she most certainly had it. Nightmares woke her up screaming in the early morning hours. She beat them back with a bottle, drinking enough alcohol to ensure deep enough sleep to not be troubled by her inner demons. Soon she was a certifiable alcoholic as well as a workaholic, and predictably, her health began to deteriorate. Then, nearly as quickly as she'd risen to fame, the world seemed to make a special effort to forget her. Her mistake, the one that precipitated her fall from public grace, was an understandable one. She put in a claim for compensation from the government for the expenses she'd put up during the war and got a little carried away with her figures. After all, how does one put a dollar value on a trauma like the one she experienced? Most likely the way she set about it was to tally up all the revenue she received from Club Tsubaki, which she spent as quickly as she got it on relief supplies for the guerrillas and prisoners, and then add a healthy percentage for interest and incidentals. In any case, the figure she came up with was $146,850, which in modern currency would be worth about $1.6 million. This was such an enormous figure that it caused many people who would ordinarily probably have been favorable to her case to turn away from her, dismissing her as a gold digger. Naturally, her documentation was scant. The federal employees and FBI agents processing her claim suspected she was trying to take advantage of government largesse, and they were not shy about expressing that view.
"She's a prostitute," one FBI agent wrote in a note he left in her file. "Got a lot of publicity and is a phony."
She also had a falling out with some of her wartime colleagues in the Philippine resistance. At least one of them started spreading rumors that she had been a Japanese collaborator.
As Madame Tsubaki, her job had been to vamp Japanese officers, so naturally many Filipinos at the time hated her for consorting with the hated occupiers and accused her of being a Japanese collaborator. Not all these rumors were extinguished by her arrest. Plenty of real collaborators got arrested and jailed by the Japanese during their occupation, too. In the end, the government took the position that she was entitled to nothing, and the judge awarded her $1,349.21, which probably didn't go far beyond covering her attorney fees. That was 1957. 3 years later, weakened and getting sickly, the 52-year-old war hero caught meningitis and died. Fame and adulation are fickle things to begin with, and they seem to be especially fickle for women. In any case, following that initial post-war burst of enthusiasm for her wartime service, Claire Phillips fell quickly into obscurity. Following her death, she seemed utterly forgotten about. Documentarian and author Sig Unander deserves a lot of the credit for bringing her story back to life. Unander has been working on a full biography of High Pockets for several years now, and when he finishes it, it will probably become the definitive work on this fascinating vaudevillian war hero. Most recently, in 2017, the Oregon State Capitol Foundation unveiled the Claire Phillips Memorial on the northwest corner of the state capitol grounds in Salem at a ribbon-cutting ceremony with Governor Kate Brown. "Claire Phillips," the governor remarked, "follows in this Oregon tradition of women who truly fly on their own wings." And how? By the way, in case you're wondering, no one is 100% sure what happened with the flotilla of submarines that Claire sent away to its doom, supposedly, after the all-night party with its officers. In her book, though, Claire writes that she heard back from one of them later, and he told her he was the only survivor. Key sources in this story: Claire Phillips, Forgotten Hero, an article by Sig Unander, January 2016 issue of 1859 Oregon's Magazine. Also by the same author, Claire Maybelle Phillips, published May 11, 2022 in the Oregon Encyclopedia. Manila Mata Hari, an article by Brian Libby, published in the February 2011 issue of Portland Monthly, and Manila Espionage, a book by Claire Phillips and Myron Goldsmith, published 1947 by Binfords. And finally, Portland singer Claire Phillips Became a Spy, an article by Douglas Perry, published October 11, 2021 in the Portland Oregonian. That's our show for today. Thanks again for listening. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. Offbeat Oregon, by the way, is a division of Pulplit Productions, a boutique publishing house about which more can be learned at pulp-lit.com. In addition to Offbeat Oregon books, podcasts, and audiobooks, we also publish book and audiobook versions of collections of what you might call street literature. 1920s pulp magazine writers like H.P. Lovecraft and Edgar Rice Burroughs, gothic penny dreadful titles like Sweeney Todd and The Adventures of Highwayman Dick Turpin, all straight shots of bottled-in bond working man's fiction and working women's fiction from the last couple of centuries. If that sounds like your jam, I'd love to have you check them out. That is pulp-lit.com. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band and was written by Carmen Ficarra. Listen and download more at atlasstringband.com. Episodes of Offbeat Oregon History are uploaded around 6 a.m. every weekday, so the next one will be on your device and ready to go before you know it. Until then, go out and fill up the rest of the day with good stuff. Bye now.